Topic 37. Listen to your lizard brain. Let's talk about instinct. Only human beings can look directly at something, have all the information they need to make an accurate prediction, perhaps even momentarily make the accurate prediction, and then say that it isn't so. That's Gavin De Becker talking in his book, The Gift of Fear. One of the key themes running through the book is that as sophisticated humans, we have learned to ignore our more animal side, our instincts, our lizard brain. He claims that most people who are attacked in the street are aware of feeling uncomfortable or nervous before the attack. These people just tell themselves they're being silly. Then the figure emerges from the dark doorway. Instincts are simply a response to patterns packed into our non-conscious brain. Some are innate, others are learned through repetition. As you gain experience as a programmer, your brain is laying down layers of tacit knowledge. Things that work, things that don't work, the probable causes of a type of error, all the things you notice throughout your days. This is the part of your brain that hits the save file key when you stop to chat with someone, even when you don't realize that you're doing it. Whatever their source, instincts share one thing. They have no words. Instincts make you feel, not think. And so, when an instinct is triggered, you don't see a flashing light bulb with a banner wrapped around it. Instead, you get nervous, or queasy, or feel like this is just too much work. The trick is first to notice it is happening, and then to work out why. Let's look first at a couple of common situations in which your inner lizard is trying to tell you something. Then we'll discuss how you can let that instinctive brain out of its protective wrapper. Fear of the blank page. Everyone fears the empty screen, the lonely blinking cursor surrounded by a whole bunch of nothing. Starting a new project, or even a new module in an existing project, can be an unnerving experience. Many of us would prefer to put off making the initial commitment of starting. We think that there are two problems that cause this, and that both have the same solution. One problem is that your lizard brain is trying to tell you something. There's some kind of doubt lurking just below the surface of perception, and that's important. As a developer, you've been trying things and seeing which worked and which didn't. You've been accumulating experience and wisdom. When you feel a nagging doubt, or experience some reluctance when faced with a task, it might be that experience trying to speak to you. Heed it. You may not be able to put your finger on exactly what's wrong, but give it time and your doubts will probably crystallize into something more solid, something you can address. Let your instincts contribute to your performance. The other problem is a little more prosaic. You might simply be afraid that you'll make a mistake. And that's a reasonable fear. We developers put a lot of ourselves into our code. We can take errors in that code as reflections on our competence. Perhaps there's an element of imposter syndrome, too. We may think that this project is beyond us. We can't see our way through to the end. We'll get so far and then be forced to admit that we're lost. Fighting yourself. Sometimes code just flies from your brain into the editor. Ideas become bits with seemingly no effort. Other days, coding feels like walking uphill in mud. Taking each step requires tremendous effort, and every three steps you slide back two. But, being a professional, you soldier on, taking step after muddy step, you have a job to do. Unfortunately, that's probably the exact opposite of what you should do. Your code is trying to tell you something. It's saying that this is harder than it should be. Maybe the structure or design is wrong, maybe you're solving the wrong problem, or maybe you're just creating an ant farm's worth of bugs. Whatever the reason, your lizard brain is sensing feedback from the code and it's desperately trying to get you to listen. How to talk lizard. We talk a lot about listening to your instincts, to your non-conscious lizard brain. The techniques are always the same. First, stop what you're doing. Give yourself a little time and space to let your brain organize itself. Stop thinking about the code and do something that is fairly mindless for a while, away from a keyboard. Take a walk, have lunch, chat with someone, maybe sleep on it. Let the ideas percolate up through the layers of your brain on their own. You can't force it. Eventually, they may bubble up to the conscious level and you have one of those aha moments. If that's not working, try externalizing the issue. Make doodles about the code you're writing, or explain it to a coworker, preferably one who isn't a programmer, or to your rubber duck. Expose different parts of your brain to the issue, and see if any of them have a better handle on the thing that's troubling you. Tip 61. Listen to your inner lizard. We've lost track of the number of conversations we've had where one of us was explaining a problem to the other and suddenly went, "Oh, of course," and broke off to fix it. But maybe you've tried these things and you're still stuck. It's time for action. We need to tell your brain that what you're about to do doesn't matter. And we do that by prototyping. I'll let Dave introduce this.
Andy and I have both spent hours looking at empty editor buffers. We'll type in some code, then look at the ceiling, then get another drink, then type in some more code, then go read a funny story about a cat with two tails, then type in some more code, then do select or delete and start again. And again. And again. And over the years, we found a brain hack that seems to work. Tell yourself you need to prototype something. If you're facing a blank screen, then look up some aspect of the project you want to explore. Maybe you're using a new framework and want to see how it does data binding. Or maybe it's a new algorithm and you want to explore how it works on edge cases. Or maybe you just want to try a couple of different styles of user interaction. Whatever you choose, the important thing is just to get started. Because it's a prototype, you know you're going to throw it away. And that means there's no pressure at all. You're free to just sit down and code.
If you're working on existing code and it's pushing back, then stash it away somewhere and prototype up something similar instead. Do the following. 1. Write, "I'm prototyping," on a sticky note and stick it on the side of your screen. 2. Remind yourself that prototypes are meant to fail. And remind yourself that prototypes get thrown away even if they don't fail. There is no downside to doing this. 3. In your empty editor buffer, create a comment describing in one sentence what you want to learn or do. 4. Start coding. If you start to have doubts, look at the sticky note. If, in the middle of coding, that nagging doubt suddenly crystallizes into a solid concern, then address it. If you get to the end of the experiment and you still feel uneasy, start again with the walk and the talk and the time off. But in our experience, at some point during the first prototype, you will be surprised to find yourself humming along with your music, enjoying the feeling of creating code. The nervousness will have evaporated, replaced by a feeling of urgency. Let's get this done. At this stage, you know what to do. Delete all the prototype code, throw away the sticky note, and fill that empty editor buffer with bright, shiny new code. Not just your code. A large part of our job is dealing with existing code, often written by other people. Those people will have different instincts to you, and so the decisions they made will be different. Not necessarily worse, just different. You can read their code mechanically, slogging through it, making notes on stuff that seems important. It's a chore, but it works. Or you can try an experiment. When you spot things done in a way that seems strange, jot it down. Continue doing this and look for patterns. If you can see what drove them to write code that way, you may find that the job of understanding it becomes a lot easier. You'll be able consciously to apply the patterns that they applied tacitly, and you might just learn something new along the way. Not just code. Learning to listen to your gut when coding is an important skill to foster. But it applies to the bigger picture as well. Sometimes a design just feels wrong, or some requirement makes you feel uneasy. Stop and analyze those feelings. If you're in a supportive environment, express them out loud. Explore them. The chances are that there is something lurking in that dark doorway. Listen to your instincts and avoid the problem before it jumps out at you. Here's a challenge. Is there something you know you should do but have put off because it feels a little scary or difficult? Apply the techniques in this section. Time box it to an hour, maybe two, and promise yourself that when the bell rings, you'll delete what you did. What did you learn?